Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Well, guys, win against the Titans. So the bye is in hand now. That's a guarantee. But, you know, it was kind of a weird game because we saw everything that's good with the Patriots and everything that's been keeping them from being great this season.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do think it was one of those December games that you sort of throw style points out the window. They did what they needed to do, and I really liked the way they opened the game. You know, they immediately took control. The first drive, they go right down. They take a 7-0 lead. Then the defense makes a play shortly thereafter. That's what you're looking for. Take an inferior opponent, bury him early, and unlike what happened a couple of weeks ago when Bill was so frustrated with the Eagles game, there was no let-up the rest of the first half. Instead of taking a 14-0 lead and letting it get close, this ended up 24-3, before anything happened on the other side. So I thought they took care of business. I don't really care how it looked. The final score was never in doubt.
By the way, they are a great team.
Well, they are 12-2.
I mean, they're 12-2. They clinched a bye.
But you know what I mean? It's like instead of
they're imperfect. Like, they have imperfection.
You can see every game, or at least like where there's a chance where they're going to completely dominate a team, yep. And then they don't.
And this one, I think some of it they kind of managed the second half. They used Yosefa to run the ball, and they were, you know, the wide receiver position was banged up with Amendola leaving again with that knee injury. So you had guys like Hankerson out on the field, Martin playing a big role. LaFell even looked like he was kind of dealing with something. Gronk was flexing his knee.
Yeah.
So I think they were being cautious. They had a lead, and they took care of business. We've been talking about they haven't scored 30 points. They got back into 30 points. They did it with some help. You know, they had a defensive score. They had a special
help.
Teams.
Well, they only had
long
two right. offensive touchdowns.
Right, but they still took care of business. And I know it's against a team that's probably going to have the number one overall pick that lost its quarterback, but I want to give them credit for playing the game on, I think, their terms to get the job done.
That was my point about taking control. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that was the key.
And I think Brady even said it this week. He said in the second half, we kind of just did what we needed to do to win.
Right. I mean, you look at it, they don't have any running backs. They called a guy up from the practice squad who's a fullback tweener out of Hawaii.
You should like
him. I love him. But he also averaged 3.6 yards a carry and had one run for 15 yards. That was the bulk of his day.
Less than three in the other 14.
Let's just relax on what he is, but that was enough. That's what they wanted to do. Now, the warts were there in some aspect. You know, the offensive line, I thought, even though the hits and sacks were down, there were still examples where they were struggling with the pass rush a little bit. They have not been great. They continue to rotate. But the flip side of that is the defense is doing that to other teams. This is as good a front seven as we've seen in a while. I'm not quite ready to go to the 03-04 comparisons that some people are making, but this is a good front seven, and they're putting pressure consistently.
I think there's a lot of versatility in
this front
seven, and I think Belichick and Patricia are using that to their advantage.
Yep.
And I think that's the key. It's like they're able to get the right people on the field at the right time.
Mixing and matching, finding different things, using some different schemes. Not a ton of blitzing, per se, but different kind of stuff. I thought the Collins play was an example of that, where if you look at it, I think Mariota had nine pass attempts. He was 3 for 6, was sacked 3 times in 9 attempts. That's a mobile guy who can get out of the pocket, and they just smothered him. So I agree that the pass rush is really, I thought it was going to be, you know, improved heading into the season. I didn't think it was going to be this good, and it hasn't just been as a result of the scores. They've come out early in games and dominated.
And not to say that this is New Orleans bounty gate, but second week in a row, they've knocked the quarterback out of the game.
Well, that's what happens. When you hit a quarterback consistently, there's a good chance he's going to end up getting banged up. That's just the way of the world, and they are doing that consistently. And you talk about the versatility. I think they have two guys that are newcomers that are a big part of that. Jabal Sheard, Bill talked about it earlier this week, sort of gives him a 3-for-2 at defensive end, but also can rush from the inside. I think he's better rushing from the inside than both Ninkovich and Jones have been in recent years. And Akeem Hicks seems to be, you know, Bill used the word revelation for Sheard. I think Akeem Hicks is on the cusp of being a revelation. Can stop the run, but is also making plays in the passing game as a big, versatile guy. I think those two guys have sort of transformed the front.
And I think those two guys, you know, we hate to see the loss of Easley, but I think those two guys kind of in combination can do what Easley did. When you move Sheard inside on a third down, he becomes kind of like Easley.
Yep.
You know? So I think, I agree with you guys. Overall, it was a workmanlike kind of win. They did what they had to do to win. You know, going forward, though, you have to wonder, you know, how are they going to manage this roster? Because, like you said, Amendola is hurt now. LaFell, Gronk was flexing his knee.
Hightower re-injured the knee. Chung left late with the hip
injury.
Kevin McCourty
didn't play at all.
Right, you're already without guys, and you're adding to that list. You know, they have 17 guys on IR, and a lot of them are important guys, and now important guys on the injury list. Bill admitted it. There's going to be some management of issues over the next 2 weeks, and you need one more win so you can secure that number one seed and make sure everything comes through Foxborough.
Right.
But they are banged up, but so is everybody else. I mean, this year is as much as any, I think, is that battle of attrition.
They get to sew it up against your favorite team, Freddie. One more.
It's going to be a tough game.
I wanted to continue our conversation about the front seven. One of the things that's really stuck out to me has been the versatility of those guys, the tackles specifically, and I want to talk about Akeem Hicks. Much like Dominic Easley, Hicks has been a guy who plays on the inside, but not like Easley. He's bigger. He's more of a run stuffer. So I thought, all of a sudden, the last couple of games with Easley out of the lineup, he has basically replaced Easley and then some. He's been better than the first-round pick. He's gotten after the passer, two sacks in Houston, another one against Tennessee. Really aggressive inside. He's a guy that's really taking advantage of his opportunities. He was sort of wasting away in New Orleans. He comes over to the Patriots, finds a role in a rotation as a run stopper, and now all of a sudden his role increases, and he's taking advantage of that as well. Akeem Hicks has been a revelation on the inside. I'm going to stick to that Patriots front seven a little bit, but move back to the linebackers and Jamie Collins. I thought the first game back for Collins, he was a little bit rusty. You could definitely see that he had been out of action for a while, and it took him a little while to get going. But I think against Tennessee, you started to see the athleticism show. And in particular, one blitz that he had, the one that knocked Mariota out of the game, I thought was quite impressive. He's lined up over the right side, the defensive right side, sort of delayed a little bit. I think he confused Tennessee, certainly confused the running back. I think it was Antonio Andrews who was supposed to stay in and block him. Once he committed, Collins shot out of a cannon, knocked Mariota out of the game. This was a nice wrinkle, I thought, by Matt Patricia, but it certainly helps Patricia to call up these plays when you have athletes like Collins back in form. Well, you could certainly count me among the people in Patriots Nation very excited for the signing of Steven Jackson. I think the Patriots running game is certainly a work in progress. We don't know if they have the ability to close out games, and certainly with Brandon Bolden and James White and now Joey Yosefa, I'm not so confident that any of those guys are capable of doing it. But there just might be a chance that Steven Jackson has enough left in the tank to accomplish this. I want to see the four-minute offense with a professional like Jackson in the backfield. If he has anything at all left, he could be a really big part of the Patriots' postseason push here. Here's hoping that Jackson has just a smidge remaining in that tank.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
A lot of people don't think that we're going to be as good as we were last year, but he said he has confidence. And everybody in this room, corners and safeties included, that we can still be a good, a special group.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Images of the week. Some shots of some guys who had standout games and will need to contribute going forward. Here's James White. That was a terrible call that called back that big 70-yard run. Joey Yosefa made his debut as a Patriot. Nashville met Smashville. Finally, here's that Brandon LaFell catch on the sideline. That was a real tough catch on a big hit.
Player's Perspective. Brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Joined this week by Patriots safety Daron Harmon. And Daron, the defense, which a lot of people at the beginning of the season were concerned about, is playing at a really, really high level. It's got to be pretty rewarding to be going into your meetings now the way you guys have been playing.
Well, the only thing about that is when you play for an organization like this, it's always something you can fix. It's something that we always want to get better at. So we try not to harp on what's going on right now, but rather what we can improve on. And I think not only does the coaching staff do a great job of that, but the leaders in the defense as well, coming each week saying how we can be better on maybe it's third down, red area, but it's always something that we always trying to get better at.
Now, that leadership, obviously you talked about the coaches, but I would imagine, you know, Devin's a big part of that as well. Is he sort of the guy that takes control of that safety group?
Oh, yeah, definitely the safety group. I mean, he's been in that group the longest out of everybody. The secondary, been playing at a high level as well. He knows this defense in and out, so his communication is always on point. So he's definitely a big voice when it comes to leadership in our room.
I remember way back in the summer talking to you down in West Virginia. And, you know, there was a lot of confidence in the group that you guys had. But was there a spot or a time during the course of the season when you guys, you know, sort of thought you could be pretty good and then you kind of crossed over and said, okay, now I know we are good?
I would just say from the beginning of the year, I mean, Devin just pointed out to us just as the leader of our group, just saying a lot of people don't think that we're going to be as good as we were last year. But he said he has confidence in everybody in this room, corners and safeties included, that we can still be a good, a special group. And I just feel like when your leader puts that amount of confidence in you, it helps. It helps everybody. And I would say that it really helped throughout the year.
And you have several members of that defense being named to the Pro Bowl, including Malcolm Butler. Mm-hmm. It's got to be pretty rewarding to have that kind of individual attention for all the hard work you guys have put in.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, look at Malk, man. He's been a guy who came in here undrafted, continued to work hard, still working hard to this day. And his play was rewarded, man. Couldn't be more happier for a guy like Malcolm. And then we got guys who I think maybe could have made it as well, but that's just a part of the NFL.
Okay, before I let you go here, I want to ask you one a little bit off the beaten track. I'm going to flip the tables here. Rob Gronkowski. I mean, you guys deal with a lot of tight ends around the league. How would you try to deal with that? How do you tackle a guy like that?
I mean, he's just different, man. He's big, he's fast, he's strong, he's agile, has great hands. As far as tackling him, I mean, you just got to try to find a way to get him on the ground. I would say going up top might not be the best way because I see him literally throw guys off of him. But you just got to try to find a way to just get him on the ground. And I'm happy he's on my team and I don't have to worry about that.
Before we look at the Jets in this matchup, we need to look at the Patriots themselves. As we mentioned in morning meeting, the Patriots have clinched the division. They've clinched a first-round bye. With one more win, they will clinch the number one seed. But with all the injuries, the health of the team also has to be a consideration in the final 2 weeks. Bill Belichick admitted as much earlier this week in a conference call with the New England media.
You know, do the best that we can to, you know, balance all those things. Because there are some guys that are in various states of physical health.
And the upside of resting some of your starters, the unheralded, less experienced players gain some knowledge that might help them come January. Now looking at the game with the Jets, the Patriots' defense is in focus first, and I'm talking about the front seven, not the pass rush, but the run defense. First time around against New York, that front seven held Chris Ivory in check. 17 carries, just 41 yards, although he may have been limping a little bit. Patriots' run defense has been solid, still a top 10 unit, but Ivory has come on. 4-plus yards per carry in 5 of his last 6 games. Patriots were good this week against the run, just 2.8 yards per carry for Tennessee. Strength versus strength, it's all on the Patriots' front to show up and do the job. Now we flip over to the Jets' defense. It's an impressive unit, top 10 in just about everything, very good against the run. And Muhammad Wilkerson, he is the leader. 12 sacks on the year, big, physical, athletic guy. He will challenge a Patriots offensive line that's been, let's be honest, a little leaky the last few weeks. You want to stay healthy, you want 12 healthy, take care of Wilkerson and that Jets front.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
If it rains and it gets cold, you'll have Grandpa Jackson getting the job done.
If they play the Colts, maybe Jackson can't be as good as Blunt. If they play any of the other 31 teams, Jackson's better.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
The horse collars are tightening in Denver. The Broncos could go from having a 1 or 2 seed and a bye in the playoffs to missing out completely. If the Jets, Steelers, and Chiefs all win out and Denver loses Monday night to the Bengals, they would be on the short end of the wild card tiebreaker, even if they take care of the Chargers to finish. That's a big turnaround for a team that beat the 10-0 Patriots and briefly had its sights on the number one seed. If that happens, the debate that will never be definitively answered will ensue. Would the Broncos have been better off with Peyton Manning? I've given this some thought, and to my surprise, I think the answer is yes. While Manning looked finished in the last game we saw him, it was, after all, one game. And yes, he was getting picked off like zombies in a video game, but he was scoring points. Meanwhile, his defense was keeping his team in every game and covering for him. I finally made up my mind when I watched Brock Osweiler unable to do anything with the gift interception the Steelers gave him at the end of Sunday's game. His play gave his team no chance in both of the last two critical drives. Might have been a 50-50 proposition with Manning in there, but last time I checked, 50-50 is a chance. In crunch time, Manning is still better, but we'll probably never know for sure.
As we look around the NFL, how can you ignore the 14-0 Carolina Panthers? A very impressive win, again, on the road against the Giants. Blew a big lead, got a little bit sloppy in the fourth quarter, but then had the professionalism to sort of win the game all over again. Cam Newton, very impressive down the stretch to win that game. But you know what? Ron Rivera, 14-0 is great, and I know that you're not really interested in going undefeated. You're more interested in winning the Super Bowl, and that's exactly what you should be interested in. You don't get anything for going undefeated. We know that all too well here in New England. Make sure you get these guys rested. The Panthers, much like the Patriots and every other team, are starting to drop like flies. Ron Rivera needs to forget about those last two games. If they win them, great, we go 16-0, and that's great. That's a great accomplishment, not diminishing that in any way. But no one's going to care if you don't win the Super Bowl. And if you lose Jonathan Stewart for any more games, if you lose Greg Olsen, and God forbid if you lose Cam Newton, you are not going to win the Super Bowl. You have to do the smart thing. Rest your starters.
I'm sure everybody's seen it by now. Last Sunday, Odell Beckham Jr. and Josh Norman went at it on the football field like it was a pay-per-view MMA fight. Both guys lost their cool, but I don't blame them necessarily for not being able to cut it, nip it in the bud. The people I blame are the people in authority. You can't just throw flag after flag after flag. That's like threatening a three-year-old, telling him he's going to bed if he does it five more times. And Tom Coughlin, you are paid to control your players and make sure they don't cross the line. Your player crossed the line, you knew it, and you sold out trying to get a victory. Shame on you, Tom Coughlin. Shame on the officials. And OBJ, that was embarrassing.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Steven Jackson joined the Patriots this week. At the beginning of a potential Super Bowl run, Paul Perillo, is it fair to expect Jackson to be a major contributor in the postseason?
Yeah, I think it is for a couple of reasons. Number one, I have a lot of respect for Steven Jackson, the player, but probably more importantly, it's the position. I think that is the one spot that you can come in and instinct kind of takes over. You don't have to have a real broad knowledge of a complicated offensive system. I think at running back, you come in, you're grinding out the clock, you 4-minute offense, you're not asking him to go out there and dominate games. I think he can be a major factor.
I think it's pie in the sky. I think it's wishful thinking, as Tom Brady might say.
Sorry.
The last 2 years we saw Steven Jackson in Atlanta, they were 3.5 and 3.7. He got nicked up, banged up. I wouldn't eliminate that. After sitting out an entire year, not having training camp, there's a hamstring waiting to happen or one of those types of injuries. And even if he's on the field, this offensive line hasn't been great. They haven't exactly opened holes for a 30-something running back with zero tread left on the tire. So I think Steven Jackson, it's a dream.
Yeah, but I like the idea of having this one because I think that what you had wasn't good enough. I think we saw, you know, LeGarrette Blunt wasn't good enough.
Then he gets hurt.
He was clearly the lead dog. Yeah, Yo-Yo Yosefa, who averaged less than 3 yards a carry.
Did you see him run over Sensabaugh, the highlight of the year?
The one unfortunate soul of Cody Sensabaugh who got bowled over. I thought he did a great job. I thought Yosefa did a great job considering his NFL debut, coming off the practice squad. Couldn't ask for anything more. But that's what you're going to get from him. I think potentially you can get a lot more than that from Steven Jackson. I don't know how you can really see it any other way. He's a guy that has been 3.7 a carry is what he averaged last year. I'll take that in a heartbeat.
3.7 is not what he's going to get because that was when he was still in football shape. I don't know what he's been doing. I know there's some photos on Twitter.
There's a question about that.
May or may not have been photoshopped or may or may not have been taken like 5 years ago. If you had a time machine, love it. Time machine, yep. Send me back 5 years. I will take the 1,000 yards and the 8 touchdowns. I'd love to have that guy. Unfortunately, the reality of Father Time is what? 30-something running backs don't produce.
Yeah.
30-something running backs who've been on their couch since February tend to get injured, tend to not produce. The Patriots will win via the passing game, and they are not going to expect and shouldn't expect anything.
Don't do the Fred Kirsch and change the argument in the middle.
No one's
suggesting
you
the Patriots
You said you're expecting a significant
the Patriots,
contribution.
The Patriots' offense will rely on Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski,
will
and,
they get
and
a
all
significant
the passing
contribution
attack.
Or not?
They will get a significant
will they
punch
get
because
what
they'll LeGarrette have a 4-minute offense.
Done? Will they get
not.
What LeGarrette Blunt has done?
They'll get more than LeGarrette Blunt
in
did
In the last
year.
2 years in the postseason?
Yes.
Oh, you're ridiculous.
LeGarrette
He's going to rush for a buck 80 now.
LeGarrette Blunt was
now.
An utter non-factor in two of the three
Okay, if it rains and it gets cold, you have Grandpa
year.
Jackson getting
if
the job done.
If they play the Colts, maybe Jackson can't be as good as Blunt. If they play any of the other 31 teams, Jackson's better.
Little thin at receiver. Let's get Jerry Rice.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's question time here on PFW, but we're coming down to the end of the season, and we want to check in with the Wilson Hart Power Index.
And it's falling into place nicely, Fred. Of the top seven teams...
Now that you know what the standings are.
No. Panthers, number one. Slight lead over the Arizona Cardinals. Bengals are third, and your Patriots moved up one slot to number four.
All right, we'll lead it off with John Grisham, who's taking a break from his novels.
Yeah,
I'm a little old school because I think teams need to be able to ground and pound in December and in the playoffs. What do you guys think about the running back situation?
It's better with the addition of Steven Jackson, although I think I have a lot of doubts about what he can be after sitting out the whole year, and he wasn't good in Atlanta.
You see that picture of him doing pull-ups?
I did. If we have a pull-ups contest, I want him on my team.
We're all set.
If we need to run like 4 or 5 yards, I'm not sure yet. We'll see. But I feel better about it today than I did before he was added because I don't think Yosefa is the long-term answer in the postseason.
Yeah, I agree. I feel better about it because at least they have somebody back there now that has been doing that, has done that in the past. Bolden, really, that's not what he's done. And Yosefa, just finding his way in the NFL. So at least Steven Jackson gives you a chance to have a semblance of a four-minute offense again.
Dante Swinton writes in. He says he liked Joey Yosefa's debut. And he does. Do you think that the offense will deploy him as a lead blocker for Jackson or Bolden?
I don't. That's not what he does. It's not what he did at Hawaii. He's a bigger guy, but he's always been a tweener, a ball carrier, a runner. And even a couple of examples where he tried to block in the game, I thought he looked like a fish out of water.
So he's more like a Toby Gerhardt type?
Yeah, he's...
Keith Evans.
Yeah. And they've done that, but... Now, he would need to, like, pick that up quickly. You'd be testing something new that I think's outside of his comfort zone right here at the end of December, saying that's going to be a factor in January. I don't think so. There was a couple times he was going through the hole, and he looked like he wanted to tackle somebody. His arms are way out here. I just don't think he's a natural blocker, and I think to ask him to do that now, maybe next summer, you say we need to add this to your game, but not now.
All right. Every week, send your questions to askpfw@patriots.com, and we'll answer them right here.